All right, take two. All right, 3, 2, 1, go. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Anti-Shuffle Podcast, your weekly podcast covering the local and international metal and alternative scene. I'm one of your co-hosts here. My name is Abdullah Mozej. And with me as well is Mansoor.
Mansoor, hi. Mansoor Mol Mozej.
I like how you said your name. You're like Mansoor. All right, everyone. We got a really good episode this week. All right. I'm pretty stoked about this. We wanted to do this last week, but We had such a good topic last week that we said, you know what, we'll push this for this week. And we're going to be talking about our top five, what we believe are the top five progressive metal albums of all time.
This is going to be like one of those episodes. We did our top, our favorite bands a while back, but this kind of reminded me of that movie High Fidelity. You know, have you watched it?
I haven't seen it. No,
you haven't seen it? It's so funny.
I need to see it. It's the one where they work at the record store, right?
Yeah, and throughout the movie, he lists like the main protagonist lists like his top five records for this, the top five records for that, and like this kind of reminded me of it.
Well, I mean, people love this kind of stuff, right? People love hearing about your top fives and then also criticizing your top fives or agreeing with your top fives. So, I mean, it's nice. It's whatever. We all agree to disagree at some point, but it's also like nice to get to know each other through our favorite artists. But anyways, there's so much to talk about. Again, absolutely, this episode, there's too much stuff. Let's just get right into the news, baby. All right, man, why don't you kick us off? Tell us what we got here.
So this is, this Epiphone, the guitar company, released a new Jimi Hendrix guitar called Love Drops. It's a Flying V guitar. And it has a pretty nice, floral design with that is in line with, Jimi Hendrix music. It's an Epiphone, so it's... I think it's an entry level guitar, right? They make entry level guitars, but I mean, it's a Flying V shaped. I'm a Hendrix fan. I didn't know that he played this kind of guitar. Like we talked about it last week, where I think it was St. Vincent. She felt like she was being pressured into playing Hendrix and that kind of level because she just picked up the Strat. Yeah. But apparently Hendrix also played the Flying V guitar. So Epiphone released this one. And, I looked at some reviews and they gave it some pretty positive reviews on YouTube.
Never mind this Marai ad. But anyways, so basically, okay, it's just a little bit of background, I guess. The Epiphone. Epiphone, I don't know, however you want to call it, is a sub-brand of the Gibson company. So Gibson, the, you know, well-renowned American maker of some of the most iconic guitars, like the Les Paul, like the SG, like the Gibson Explorer, which I have here. I wish it was closer so I can pull it out and show it to you guys. But anyways, the Gibson Explorer. They created a sub-brand called Epiphone or Epiphone, whatever you want to call it, where the guitars are manufactured in China. And they use cheaper materials. Historically, those were known as lower quality guitars. But what's interesting in recent years, what's been happening right now is that Epiphone is really, in terms of even the entry level guitars that they sell that are sub $900 or sub $800 or sub $1,000, let's say, are even getting better in quality. And what they're doing now is that they're really upping their game and they're making Epiphone versions of the custom shop guitars, including this Jimi Hendrix one, which is the original, the Gibson one that they made, that they released a year or 2 years ago. Actually, more than 2 years ago, I think. They released a similar one of Gibson. That's a 20,000, 30,000 real guitar. Okay, if I remember correct. It's it was made to spec to replicate the exact one that Jimi Hendrix played at that one show or whatever. I'm guessing the Epiphone one is not 20,000, but it's not cheap either. I'm gonna guess it's like around $1,000-something, if I'm not mistaken here. Do you think they're gonna have the price here? No, it's not written here. The price. That's
maybe
unfortunate.
Find the price on Sweetwater or
yeah, potentially. Or, but if it's in line with, so also like the Epiphone also released the Adam Jones signature Silver Burst Les Paul guitar. They made an Epiphone version of it, complete with the accurate headstock, with the accurate pickups, the same pickups, everything. It was like $1,500 compared to the $10,000 or $9,000 that the Gibson one actually cost. So I really like it. I mean, that you know, my birthday is coming up soon, Mansoor. So if you feel like getting me the Adam Jones Silver Burst Les Paul custom guitar, then yeah, by all means, you know, I'd be happy to get that. It's in a couple of weeks, my birthday. Okay, I'll send you the address.
Well, you deserve a better guitar. Come on, man.
Oh, you mean you want to get me the Gibson one, the $10,000? Yeah, man, sure, why not?
I can crowdsource it.
All right, what do we got next, buddy?
What okay. Let's see. Okay, this so yeah, this this is local music news from. You know, XP Music Futures, or rather Middlebeast, the parent company, they're launching a artist management bootcamp program in November, where basically they will be providing a course on how to, you know, become a music manager, how to manage artists. So, you know, it's going to happen in, I think, there are two slots for it. So there's... you know, a slot that's going to take place. They both take place in November. You can read more about it. But yeah, it's like a 3 to 4 day course. You're going to learn the ins and outs of music management, basically, which to me is a great sign that that they're trying to build this industry. Right? We talked about it last week. You know, it's still a kind of a youngish industry here. And this, I think, is a great opportunity to create, you know, the right capacity and skill sets for this industry. So,
no, it's really cool. I like what the XP events been doing. And this is, I think this is the second time I've seen this bootcamp being done or this workshop being done. The other thing as well that they're doing, they have like this multiple term course. Or program that Middlebeast is also doing that will teach you all you need to know about events management so that you can go into events management and you know, if you want to pivot and go into like the entertainment industry, manage events and know the ins and outs of how to manage an event from A to Z and, you know, what are the, you know, the challenges of it and how to do it properly, how to manage these projects. So it's really cool. I've always wanted to attend XP, but always something comes up either like work related or something on a personal side that prevents me from going. Hopefully this year we can go. I mean, I'd be interested if you're willing to go, Mansoor, if you're willing to come with me, I'd be
yeah, same here, man. Absolutely. I'd love to go.
All right.
I would love to go.
All right. So, last piece of news here. We got Linkin Park announces new lineup.
They've been teasing this. Yeah, they've been teasing it for like 10 days or something, and then nothing happened, and then they a few days afterwards they announced this. So as you guys, I'm sure everybody knows by now, it like this news broke the internet, but it's
broke
an interesting development.
and broke Linkin Park fans as well.
I looked at some of the feedback and most of it, like I saw like mostly positive feedback. Like most fans were excited, right?
Man, all of the videos that I've seen is people comparing her to Chester. So that's the unfortunate part, is that she has big shoes to fill, but at the same time, she's a great singer. And I'm a big fan of her vocals since her work with Dead Sarah. Her band, like the first album that they released, that self-titled album that they released as Dead Sarah, is a great album. It's an album that I really like listening to, and her vocals, she has that amazing grungy, raspy kind of fry vocal styles that, and she's really good. Like, and she's been around for a while. I mean, I'm just gonna quickly look up here, Dead Sarah. Like, when was that album released? It's not like she's you know, someone who just started, like, you know, a few years ago. Like, that album came out in 2012, so it's been, ostensibly, she's been around for more than 10 years now. Okay, So the reaction to her being selected for this band and being part of this band was kind of weird. Some people were saying, "Oh, it's a marketing kind of tool." You know, they wanted a female fronted band so that they can market themselves and they can become, you know, more viral or whatever. Which I would have understood if it was, you know, like, I don't know if you've seen the Smashing Pumpkins, how they've selected like a guitarist, the social media influencer model, as their guitarist, the touring guitarist. Really? Yeah, go check it out. So if she was some kind of like Instagram influencer that was more of a model, and then they selected her to be a vocalist, I'd say, yeah, this is totally marketing. But dude, she's a talented vocalist with pedigree, and she's been doing this for a long time. She has talent. She put in the work. It's really unfair for people to say it's just for marketing and because she's female and they want to make a female-fronted band or whatever. And regarding her performance, I think people just need to give her more time. The song that they released together, this new song that they released, The Machine, The Void, what was it? The Emptiness Machine. Yeah. Dude, great song. I enjoyed it and I really liked her performance. I thought her vocals were amazing. I actually think because of how good and strong she is, she made Mike sound really bad. And like, I never imagined Mike as a singer, you know, I've always seen him as the rapper in the group. So for me, I'm actually really happy and excited for this. And I'm looking forward to hearing the album that's going to come out with her, you know, as a vocalist in it.
Well, yeah, I mean, personally, I, you know, full disclosure, I'm not a Linkin Park fan, but I did watch some of the, you know, the performances and the music video for the new song. I think she does a good job. I mean, of course, the big shoes to fill, but
absolutely.
I mean, at the end of the day, you know, you can't fault the band for wanting to move on. And I think she seems like a good choice.
Yeah, she's talented, and I think she'll do very well.
But guys, do tell us what you think. We'd like to hear from you. Let us know.
That's it for news. Let's talk a little bit about some music. What do you say? All right, dude. So what you've been listening to lately?
Well, I've listened to the new Leprous song, Silently Walking Alone. You know, it's from their new album called Leprous. I didn't hear the new album yet, but I heard this song. And honestly, I wasn't impressed, to be honest. It's not my kind of brand of, let's say, prog metal, since this is like a prog metal episode. It reminded me of that band Haken, I don't know how you pronounce
it. It was too European for my taste. I don't know. Like, you know, like when, like, there's like this flavor of European metal or prog metal, like, that's just, to me, like, doesn't appeal to me at all. And this is what this sounded like to me. And I remember Haken. Yeah, I hated the vocals, if I remember correctly.
Oh yeah, and this sort of, I don't know why it sounded, it reminded me of Haken, like this new wave of like prog metal bands. I don't know. I wasn't impressed. Maybe I'll give the album a listen. But this album, you know, it's everywhere now. Everybody's talking about it. So I thought, why not give it a listen? Yeah. But yeah, I didn't like it. Yawning Man, this is an old album, but I was listening to it a lot this week. It's called The Revolt Against Tired Noises. Yawning Man is mostly an instrumental psychedelic rock band. You know, this is actually a kind of a nice laid back album, you know, not too much to think about, just nice sounds to chill to, maybe. There's a nice cover of a Kaya song, Catamaran.
Okay.
It's a decent listen, you know, if you want to just, you know, a palate cleanser, maybe from like the super heavy stuff. So yeah, do check them out. It's a nice listen. In that sense.
This band made me into a yawning man.
Too boring.
If you know what I mean. I found it boring. Yeah.
Fair enough. The last album is King Crow, the new King Crow album, Hopium. I thought this was a pretty good album. King Crow is a progressive metal band. They have a very modern sound. I really like this album, actually, and I thought it was it was very interesting because there's a lot of there's a lot of melodies and a lot of grooves, and you know the vocals are great.
It was elderish,
but you know I think they have their own unique thing kind of going for them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm still kind of I'm still getting familiar with the album, to be honest. But it's a good listen. I highly recommend it.
Yeah. I thought it was like I enjoyed it as well, but like, I don't know if I'll ever go back and listen to it. I thought it sounded cool, but like, already like that void is filled already with bands like Elder, with bands like, I like that type of sound. But yeah, I've been listening to that Nails album constantly. It's so good. Like it's just been, I've been repeat, like every day I've been like going through that album once at least. But in terms of other stuff, I've also, I don't know if you've ever heard of this, artist, Lingua Ignota. And she's, you have to be, it's not a heavy band. It's not a heavy, she's a solo artist, and she had already retired this band or this artist name, and she's now touring as the Reverend Christian Hater. But as this, she released like a couple of albums as Lingua Ignota. One of them is called Caligula, and the other one is called Sinners Be Ready or Get Ready. And such haunting albums. They are, you know, if there was ever an album, you know how some people describe like, oh, this artist, you know, you can feel their pain in this album. And I'm not usually a sucker for that stuff. I usually like cringe at that kind of stuff. But honestly, like listening to a couple of like, especially that last album, you can truly feel like this woman like put all of her pain and misery into those records. And they sound haunting and they sound amazing at the same time. Her vocal performances are incredible. And I encourage anybody, like if you're in one of those moods where you want to experiment and listen to something different, and you're open to kind of feeling a little bit sad, I guess, then go ahead and listen to this. It's great. Honestly, it's some of the best things I've heard like this. Those albums came out a while back, but like I just got around to listening to them, and I can't believe I didn't get around to it earlier. And then for some reason I started going back to Clutch. Not for some reason. Well, they just announced that they're going back on tour what was the name of the album? The one with The Mob Goes Wild. It kind of slips my mind right now. But it's one of the earlier albums before Exodus. That Exodus album that they released. But anyways, apparently they're going back on tour. They're gonna make like vinyl reprints of that old record. So I started just going back and listening to them. Such a great band, like especially like Exodus.
Such 100011100001.
I love that song. Yeah. It's so good. Electric Beard. That's such a great track. Oh, it's so good. Burning Beard. Sorry, Electric Burning Worry Beard is the other one that's also really good. And then the last two things here. So one of my favorite. So a vocalist from one of my favorite bands that had broken up called Every Time I Die. So Every Time I Die broke up, half of the band, basically the entire band, actually, except for the vocalist, went and started Better Lovers with Will Putney and Greg Pacciato or whatever you want to call him from the Digital Escape Plan. And then the vocalist started his own band called Many Eyes. And it starts off okay, but it's such a disappointing listen. Like, he obviously has a knack for writing like nice hooks and things like that, but the album is not there. Like, it's just, it was really annoying to listen to, honestly. Like, it wasn't fun at all to listen to, and it was like entering this territory of like radio metal or rock that was kind of weird to hear, you know, from coming from him.
Which member of Dillinger?
So Better Lovers has the vocalist from the Dillinger Escape Plan.
Yeah.
Finally, Spirit Box released a new single called Soft Spine. Mm-hmm. And I'm also kind of disappointed with this track. It's a bit too generic. Usually I'm used to like enjoying their stuff. It's, you know, they've released like bangers in the past, and like this one is just very generic sounding, nothing special about it. Like, it's just a generic, you know, modern metalcore song. But maybe the album is going to be good. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, fair enough.
All right, let's get to the highlights. What's your kind of highlight for this week? What's the album that you want to highlight this week?
So it's the new Black Crowes album. I mean, the Black Crowes are back, and this new album is fantastic. It's something about Black Crowes music. I was never a big fan, but I love this new album because it's very, I don't know, it's just a good hard rock album. You know what I mean? It's just a good, they didn't exaggerate. They're just doing back to basics, hard rock with a touch of like Southern rock and blues. And you know what I mean? Like they always had that thing. I think the brothers, Chris Robinson and his brother, they're the only original members. All the other previous members have been replaced by new ones. But this is a very good album to listen to if you're into that kind of hard rock style, going back to like Led Zeppelin, Aerosmith, those kind of bands. There's a lot of those kind of influences. Chris Robinson's voice is still great. And this actually made me go back and revisit some of their older works. I came into it with like zero expectations, but ended up just really liking it. And it's, I grew up listening to a lot of hard rock before getting into like metal. That's where I started. So this really brought me back to that kind of, that time.
Yeah.
So
I thought good album. It was a good time. Yeah. I thought it was a good time. I listened to it and, I thought it was pretty good. They're just a nice, like, good old rock and roll, just a nice rock blues tinge to it, with a kind of a blues tinge to it. Like, I don't know. I thought it was good. I enjoyed it. Would I go back to listen to it? I don't know. Well, I'm glad you asked, Mansoor, because it's kind of a bizarre album.
I listened to this album before you mentioned it on the list.
Yeah. Yeah,
and I was like, I'm sure Abdullah's gonna mention this. I was like, I'm so sure you're gonna mention it,
dude. Yeah. I don't know if I even like it. I just wanted to highlight it this week. Okay, it's this. Yeah. It's, you know, like I was listening to this album, and at some point I was like, man, this is interesting. This is kind of cool. But as I went through it once, I went through it twice, and then I was like, you know, but it's kind of, it's just a novel kind of thing, you know, like it didn't. Yani, I hate to say the word low effort, but it kind of felt a little low effort to me. But at the same time, it's still, there's something
it's
cool
a strange
about
album.
It.
Album. Yeah.
I don't know what, anyways, so this band called Peeling Flesh released a record called The G-Code. I've never heard of this band before. Maybe they've had like other records. I don't know. We'll look it up now. We'll see. But this record mixes death metal, slam core, slam metal with hip hop elements, and I don't know if they're doing it for funsies or they're a joke band or they're serious, but there are some songs where you feel like, yeah, they're serious, they're like, but you know, they're mixing hip-hop elements and hip-hop with slamcore, and they're singing about like gangsta stuff and like gang violence and whatever and blah 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 and being cool and all that stuff. But then, you know, you have this one song called Perk 3000, where literally in the beginning of the song, that you know how like on radio and radio stations, the DJ will be like DJ Cowboy, you know, like those like those like call outs, like literally in the middle of the song or like in the middle of the intro, there's like DJ MRD something like that. It's just, I don't know what this album is. Anyways, there's a couple of interesting also like collaborations or features on this record, including Cerebral Incubation, Despised Icon. I don't know, I haven't heard that name in a while. And Liturgy, which is like a weird black metal experimental, like one man, one woman kind of. Anyways, weird record. If you're into slamcore and if you're into slam metal and death metal, check it out. And if you're into like squeal, pig squeals and, you know, gargly, like weird vocals as well, you might enjoy it. But I'm still, I don't know how I feel about this album, honestly.
I didn't like it at all, man. Yeah. I mean, I really think they were, I felt like they were a parody band, but I don't know if the joke's on me or what, but I just didn't like this album.
Yeah.
It just didn't resonate. It's like so over the top and there's too much shock value, you know, for its own good.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. That's what I was saying. Like, that's why I felt like, I don't know if it's low effort or it's just, I don't know. Like, I need people's opinion. Honestly, I need people to listen to this and tell me or send messages or like comment and say, no, this is an amazing record. You missed the point. You didn't get it. Or tell me, this is obviously just shock value. This is obviously like some kind of big joke to get attention and become a meme band or something, or the next TikTok kind of thing. I don't know. I really don't know. But anyways, Peeling Flesh, the G-Code. Go check it out. Or don't.
Don't.
According to so don't. Don't waste your time. But this album cover is something else. Anyways.
Yeah.
All right, Mansoor. Let's get into our, the topic that we spoke about on the top of this episode. I'm really excited for this one. Doing these kind of lists, it's a way to like let people get insights into our tastes, but also it's like, I'm always curious to see like if people disagree or agree with us or or what do they think. I mean, I hope they're that will create some kind of engagement as well. But I wouldn't call myself the biggest prog metal listener. Like, I'm not a prog head or anything like that, but I do enjoy a lot of like prog metal albums, as you'll see like from my list. And these albums are like, if I was to create a list of top five albums of all time, some of these albums would be on that list, for sure. Or top 10 albums or whatever. Yeah.
Same here. I'm not the biggest prog metal nerd out there, but I do enjoy a lot of prog metal. But disclaimer, these lists are subject to change as our music taste develops and we discover new music out there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is obviously like anytime you do a list, it's like in this time, in this. Our favorite albums of, whatever, prog metal, our favorite, whatever albums as of now, because obviously albums come out and, your taste will change slightly or something better might come out. Who knows? Maybe something will come out on top of the initial list that you have. Anyways, how do you want to do this? Let's, how about we, you're not supposed to see this yet. How about we do...
We start with number 5.
You start. Yeah, you start. Yeah, obviously. Okay, of course. Mansoor.
Yeah.
Mansoor, come on.
Yeah.
We're going to start with number 5, of course.
But hold on. We will, before mentioning our number 1 choice, we'll list, just quickly mention the honorable mentions.
Okay, yeah, exactly. So, okay, let's do this. Yeah. So you say your number 5. I'll say my number 5. You go with 4. I'll say my 4. And then before we get to number 1, we'll mention our honorable mentions. And then we'll talk about. By the way, I just want to say, I just want to say that in this list, the Venn diagram of our tastes are beautifully aligned. All right. So it's not like we have wildly different tastes. We kind of have a little bit of the same great taste in music. Anyways,
it's almost like it's a circle, a perfect circle.
A perfect circle. All right, dude. Let's get into your number five record, the top. So prog metal. All right, we're talking about prog metal. Do we need to define what prog metal is?
They call it the thinking man's metal, or it's music that is, it's like the metal version of prog rock, which is complex kind of rock. It doesn't follow the standard pop structure. There's a lot of concept albums in the genre, that type of thing. I mean, I'm sure no need to get into more details, but that's the basic idea.
Yeah. Prog rock metal, prog rock or prog metal, a bit more complex, usually will be a bit longer, will be conceptual, high concepts discussed in the lyrics or in the themes. The music itself is a bit more complex and more evolved than your typical rock or metal song. Anyways,
yep,
let's get right into it. What's your number five, Masur?
So my number five is Elder's Innate Passage. This album
great record.
Came out.
I love this record.
It's fantastic. It's, we talked about Elder last week, I think. This is their last album. It was released, I think, 2 years ago. I just love it. It's Elder plays, has that more of a sludgy kind of style with sludge meets psychedelic rock.
Yes.
And their songs are typically long, very kind of spacey and slow, but they also have like nice up-tempo stuff here and there. Just wonderful guitars. Sometimes the riffs can be very heavy, but at the same time, like very uplifting and very, I don't know how to describe it, but it just, it fills the room. It feels like the guitars can fill the room. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That type of thing. It's not super technical or
exactly.
or any of that, but it's very forward thinking. I'd say
it's done with taste. That's the thing that I really like about this band, or like some of the bands that I'm going to list as well, is that yes, they're technical, but they're not overtly, they do it with subtlety and with melody in mind. And like, that's one of the things that I really appreciate about Elder as well, is because the melodies and the lines that they write are super, super satisfying to listen to.
Just to mention one thing, one of the criteria I was thinking about was like, how well can the songs translate to the live stage? And like I said, I've seen these guys live and they play the songs amazingly live. That's
right.
Okay.
That's really cool, man. All right. So your number five pick is Elder Innate Passage. All right. My number five. And this was a last minute change. I had another number five and I decided that this will be my number five. Like, we've been working on this list over the weekend and up until today, just to show you how like it keeps changing and evolving. But anyways, but definitely I'm happy with my choice here. Number five is going to be Between the Buried and Me, Colors. This is an incredible, incredible record that, in my opinion, Between the Buried and Me have not been able to replicate in their work as of yet. Even they even made a follow-up album to this, Colors 2, that they released like 2 years ago, or 2 years or 3 years ago? 3 years ago, I think.
Yeah, something like that.
And it was honestly disappointing. I'll just be straight up and say, like, it did too much. This record, just right away from the opening, that piano, the metalcore riffs with complex music writing, the harsh vocals mixed with intricate and interesting melodic passes as well. Some of the most iconic songs like Informal Gluttony, they do from time to time will inject like humor and silliness into these tracks. Like, there are some parts where like there's even like there's a song that has like this weird circus anthem thing going on. And some songs will have like these kind of weird chanting. There's a song that there where all of a sudden there's a passage where it sounds like they're inside of a saloon, I imagined like it's in a saloon like during old Western times or something like that. In any case, like, even though they do that stuff, it's not over the top. and it's done tastefully, unlike the new recent release Colors 2. So, and anyways, this is for me also like one of those formative albums where when I heard this record, I haven't heard anything like it before. Like I've always tried to get into Dream Theater, but was never able to. This record comes out, I listen to it, and I'm like, wow, it blew me away completely, and it made me get into like a little bit more into progressive metal and progressive rock.
Fantastic album. Fantastic album, indeed. Yeah. It took me a while to get into, to be honest, but you know, I really, really liked it.
It's like the song's length, the aggressiveness as well of some of the songs as well can take a while to get into for sure.
Yeah.
All right.
So number four, my choice for number four would be Intronauts Prehistoricism.
God damn, I love this band so much, and this record as well. I love this record.
Man, this album just blew my mind when I first heard it. Like,
yeah,
just the song structures, the guitars, the melodies, the drumming, everything about it. It's mixed with like a lot of ambience and like these kind of jazzy passages in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just I couldn't. I didn't know like bands were able to do this, and the bass in it, there's a lot of use of the fretless bass and done very tastefully, and you know, it's just fantastic. And to me, the highlight of this album would have to be the last track, The Reptilian Brain, which is like nearly like a 20 minute instrumental track that just goes everywhere. Amazing use of like you know, there's like these Eastern influences with, then there's like all of a sudden it gets super heavy and then very melodic. Mm. It's just that track alone is just worth the entire listen of the album. Yeah. But there's also so many other good tracks, Sundial, Australopithecus, all different tracks. Fantastic album.
Crazy. Like it's, in a weird way, I think this is Intronaut's heaviest album.
It is.
It's because, like, after this, like, in this record, there's not a lot of singing. There's no singing, actually. There's no singing at all. It's all growling and like, but the music, there is a bit of melody in it. There's some melodic elements to it. But it's mainly done in a very growly, this is like a very sludge, progressive metal kind of effort. And then as Valley of Smoke comes out after this, and they start introducing like more singing and stuff, and then like it takes off from there. Great record, definitely worthy of being on a list like this. So let's talk about my number four, dude. My number four progressive metal album of all time is Mastodon Crack the Sky. Holy moly, what a record! To me, so Mastodon has occupied this like space in my mind. Well, previous, before this album, like my experience listening to them was always, Leviathan, obviously, is one of my all-time favorite albums. Heavy, sludgy, just incredible music writing, technical drumming, and crazy amount of drumming. Blood Mountain comes out, follows the same suit, also goes heavy, goes melodic, goes all of that. Then all of a sudden they like make this pivot and they make this epic progressive rock album, and it's, you know, it has an amazing theme that follows the story of a spirit. It's inspired by the death of one of the members, the band members, a sister, I think, or something like that. I don't remember. And also, I think the guitarist at some point also got into a fight with the bassist, I think, of System of Down, and had like a really bad concussion. And it also inspired a lot of like of the music writing. So it's dialed back a little bit. It's not the heaviest record that they've released for sure, but it's the most complex and interesting and just beautifully written album. Just one song after the other flows beautifully from one to another, and it's just an incredible record. It's an incredible record, structurally, musically, thematically, artwork, everything about it is just wonderful. And that's why it's my number three record of all time.
Yeah, I love this album. I think Mastodon peaked with this album. You know, and you know, afterwards, I loved The Hunter, by the way, the follow-up to this one. It wasn't as proggy as this, but you know, I think this is when Mastodon peaked musically. Yeah. And it showed a lot of growth and maturity. You know, they didn't repeat themselves, and it was, you know, it was a natural evolution for them, because it, you know, it you know, all the things that you mentioned, the events that led up to this record, it just felt like a very natural progression. And that's, you know, I love this album. It's very dark and kind of sad, but you know, it's a great listen.
Yeah, it's also the first record where I think the drummer really leaned into singing and was becoming like an actual like full-time singer in the band. I don't know if in the previous effort he was singing at all, but in this record, like they would go live, they would play the album from front to back, and he's like singing while drumming, and it's kind of incredible seeing him do that. I mean, you know, anyways, wonderful record, amazing performances, amazing music, amazing songs. My number four.
No, I think that's number three, right?
And you're number three. What's your number?
Oh yeah, my number three. Sorry,
yeah,
kind of lost track there. So my number three would have to be. This might be a bit controversial, but it's Iron Maiden's Seventh Son.
I was actually surprised to see this. I never expected to see Iron Maiden on a prog metal.
Yeah, I mean, they kind of became prog as they, you know, as time went by. But and this is their first kind of foray into prog. They, you know, they've employed, like, they used a lot of synths and keyboards, and you know, the songs kind of are more symphonic, in a sense. You know, there's a nice epic. The title track is a nice, you know, epic track. So it's not necessarily a prog album per se, but it's Maiden's first kind of venture into prog metal, and they have more proggy kind of songs, especially from like the more recent releases. But yeah, I really love this album. I think this is where Bruce Dickinson, the vocalist, peaked as a singer. Yeah, it's great from start to finish. It's a concept album. Although they admit, like, the concept is not fully fleshed out, but
yeah, just like, you know, Eddie over here,
yeah, just like Ed Hunter here. But yeah, it's an amazing album. I love this.
Another controversial opinion: I think Iron Maiden are overrated. I do not like Iron Maiden, and I completely disagree with you on this pick, Mansoor. And this is where the Venn diagram separates.
You've just upset so many metal fans out there, by the way.
I know.
I'm just saying.
Oh, well, what are you going to do? I have my own personal tastes and opinions. Oh, well. All right. Yeah. Cool. So Iron Maiden, I have nothing to add here because, like I said, I really don't like this band. So I'm just going to move on and talk about my number three pick here, which is a more sensible and a better one as well.
Mm-hmm.
Tool, Lateralis. What an incredible record. This is one of the best records ever written. It's so thoughtful in both the concepts, talking about, you know, the human condition, the, you know, how humans always aspire to do things and grow and be better and evolve and musically as well, very intricate. You know, I'm not going to go into it. Like, you can just go online and read more about the Fibonacci sequence and how, you know, they did the time signatures that align with, and Maynard would write lyrics that the syllables would, you know, count also the time. You can all find all that information online now. It's like, it's not, but you if you didn't know that stuff, you wouldn't. It doesn't matter. You don't need to know that stuff because it's so well written and so well put together. It is engaging and easy to get into and easy to listen to. And I guess that's the genius of it, is that it's complex, but at the same time, it's so thoughtful and well written that it's so easy to get into. And, you know, some of the most iconic bass riffs are on this track, on this album. Some of those iconic melodies and lines lyrically and delivery wise are on this album. Just Letter L is the title track as well, is such an incredible track. And that's the track that has that interesting Fibonacci sequence stuff going in it. But it's such a beautiful track, and it's such a beautiful album. It would go higher for me, but there are two other albums that I really enjoy a lot, and I feel like definitely are worth being higher for me. But like this album is no slouch. It just delivers on all fronts.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Tool really evolved here with this one, and it's just a masterpiece from start to finish. Amazing performance, just really mind-bending stuff. Super progressive, but at the same time, not boring, not pretentious, like not a very heavy listen.
Yeah,
it's like a journey from start to finish listening to this album. You can enjoy the tracks individually, but you know, just the listening experience from start to finish is just fantastic. And they all really, I feel like they all pushed themselves musically, technically, everything, you know, even lyrically. It seems like a less angry album than the Anima.
Sure.
So there was that maturity and growth I felt from that album jumping onto this. Fantastic.
I would have put Anima on this list instead of Tool, but I've gotten this. I feel like Anima still, it still has that grunge, that sound from their grunge era. You know, like it's, it still has that grungy sound to it. That like it I feel like it's not. I can't really count. Although it's still complex and it also has like complex themes and complex music writing and all of that. But I just felt like this was a more, worthy record of being on a list of a prog metal album. I mean, on Anima, like the Eulogy, 46 and 2, those are no slouch songs. Like it's those are pretty complex. But yeah, for me, number three record progressive metal of all time, Letter S. All right, we're amazing. Starting to get into number two here. Mansoor, what's your number two?
Number two, the Venn diagram comes back. It's it's Mastodon's Leviathan. You know, this came out in 2004. I remember it was like just at the tail end of like the new metal era and the beginning of this, because I was like so sick of that kind of music. And this came out, just completely changed how I think about metal. You know what I mean? It wasn't over the top with it being super technical and fast and stuff, but it was just the right amount of heaviness, the right amount of complexity. And you know, the band is telling the story here of Moby Dick. This is like it's a concept album. Somehow they found something metal to say, you know, in the story of Moby Dick. So there's that kind of intellectual element to it. You know what I mean? It's it's a fantastic record. It, musically, you know, they have they used a lot of harsh vocals, but sort of cleanish vocals as well. The drumming just completely changed my perception of what metal drumming is, because before this I always thought it was about double bass and blast beats, and you know, that was like the epitome of metal drumming. But you know, Bron Daler comes and he does all these kind of jazzy patterns, insane stuff. This album really has a special place for me. And I think it, you know, many fans would say this is their best. Some would say Crack the Sky. There's a lot of, there's a big debate going on, but this to me is a fantastic album.
Yeah. I'm one of those fans. I think this is their best work to date. Leviathan is my favorite Mastodon album of all time. But not my favorite progressive metal or progressive rock album. There is some progressive elements in there for sure, but I've always felt like it leaned more towards the heavy metal, heavy, you know, like you said, like evolving the genre and taking it in different directions. But yeah, But damn, yeah, this album is incredible. And I couldn't agree with you more. It's definitely worthy on this list. You know, if you feel like it's a great progressive metal album, of course, yeah, it's such an incredible record. And it still holds up to this day, even though it came out over 20 years ago, or like around 20 years ago, it's still like amazing to listen to, and it sounds incredible. Really cool. All right. We're down to our... I still need to go to and do my number two. So my number two record, progressive metal album of all time, is The Contortionist Language. Holy moly. What a record. I mean, this is second place. So this record is just incredible from start to finish. Very sci-fi themes of, I guess, I don't know if you would want to call it like parenthood or paternal instincts and maternal instincts. And, you know, also like a lot about the human condition and things like that. It feels like a very sci-fi album. But put that aside, this has to have one of the best vocal performances you'll ever hear in your life. The vocalist on this record is someone who joined this band. I think on this record he joined them, and he came from another band. I know him from another band called Last Chance to Reason. And when he came here on this record and he, you know, put down his vocal performances and the band got together and they wrote these songs, it's just incredible writing. Like I am lost for words to describe how the songs are, but you know, they actually kind of follow the theme of, you know, they're complex, and they have like heavy part, aggressive parts, and they have, you know, very, very melodic and very interesting and nice melodies. And that's what I really like about them, is that they mix this complexity of heavy elements and melody in a way that is just beautiful. And they are a masterclass at writing melodic passages and passages in songs. They're so they resonate with you, and they make you feel something. And it's really rare to have a record that does that. And WSO, if you go listen to the Rediscovered edition that they released, that has like a bunch of, you know, these I don't know if it's acoustic or whatever. Yeah, it's kind of an acoustic version of some of the songs on the album. They're incredible because you really get to hear the vocalist like from behind the mixing board, like just upfront live performance of him doing these songs kind of like acoustically. And it's just incredible. The guy has pipes on him. Like, he's amazing. And this is why this is my second favorite progressive metal album of all time.
Excellent choice. This is a great album from start to finish. You know, it's a very balanced album, you know, the heaviness and the melodies and all of that. It's a beautiful album, I think. You know, this is how I would describe it. Very mature, very complex, yet catchy.
I don't know. Complex? But with subtlety and not overly done. So like, I don't know how to describe it. Like, it's complex, but it's done in a way where it's tasteful and subtle, and it's not overly hitting you in the face with it, you know?
Exactly. And there's so many flavors to it. I feel, you know, it's a nice listening experience. It's
The one track flows from one to another. You can listen. Yeah. You can literally put the first track and like listen to it as if it's one continuous song.
Yeah. Amazing album.
Beautiful album. All right, we're down to our last pick here. You want to do our honorable mentions?
Yeah, so because we're running out of time, just quick honorable mentions. I got Meshuggah's Chaos Fear, Tesseract's Sonder, The Contortionist Language, almost cracked the top five, Queensryche, Empire, a bit of the classic side, but... Yeah, these are my honorable mentions. What about you?
All right. So my honorable mentions are Protest the Hero, Fortress, incredible band, incredible record. Cynic, Traced in Air. I think that's one of the best progressive metal albums of all time. And I don't like any of their other albums. I mean, they're good, but it's like, this is my favorite one. And then finally, Animals as Leaders. And I was divided between the latest record that they released, Peritzia or Joy of Motion. I mean, Animals as Leaders goes without saying, Tosin Abasi's like influence on the guitar world. And for me as well, the band that got me into listening to instrumental albums. I was into Steve Vai. I was never into Satriani. This guy comes in and like releases that first record, and all of a sudden I'm into instrumental albums. So for me, played a huge part in also like my development as a music listener, I guess. So, all right, these are my honorable mentions. You want to go ahead and tell us what's your number one? Drum roll, please. And the number one record for Mansoor is
Tool, 10,000 Days. Man, I remember when this album came out, I was just listening to it nonstop for like a year, even more. This album is, I think, I love this more than Lateralis.
Okay.
Because it has more heaviness, the more punchy kind of riffs, but you know, and more grooves, you know, just the rhythm section I think really peaked here. You know, songs like The Pot, Vicarious, and all of those tracks, you know, lots of awesome, you know, guitar work, guitar riffs. You still get a lot of, you know, the complexities from the previous records. You know, Maynard, again, he's talking about the human condition here, especially with like songs like Vicarious, where he's talking about like people being, you know, glued to their TVs, you know, not thinking too much. But yeah, it's also, I think this album showcased like another side to Maynard, the more personal kind of side, because he has a song dedicated, or let's say two tracks dedicated, two-part songs dedicated to his mother, who suffered from an illness that lasted like nearly 30 years, hence the title, 10,000 Days. So we saw that side to Maynard's artistry and personality. And it's an amazing album. I had the pleasure of seeing them perform during this tour cycle.
Yeah.
For this album, and it was, you know, an amazing performance. The songs sounded so great live, especially, you know, Wings for Marie and you know, those kind of songs. So yeah, I mean, I think this is Tool's best work, hands down.
No, I mean, yeah, this is also like an incredible record, one of my favorite records for Tool. It just didn't crack. It couldn't edge out Lateralis for me, but yeah, definitely one of like, I mean, besides all the famous tracks, like one of my favorite things to do is when I'm listening to this album is I just love putting Lost Keys and letting it lead into Rosetta Stone. Mm. I love those two tracks. Oh my God, I love listening to those two tracks. Rosetta Stone is such a great track. I love, especially that like outro where it starts to, you know, the song starts to kind of, you know, die down or like start, and it's just incredible track. You know, they do this weird thing with, sorry?
It's a wild song. It's like some alien abduction thing going on. I don't know.
Like a hospital, like a patient is in a hospital and they don't have any ID on him or anything like that. And, you know, tell us. And then he goes like, all right, strap in. Let me tell you. Like, and he's talking to a megaphone or something like that. And he's just like rattling off lyrics. But apparently there's also like this weird thing here on this album where like there are three songs on this album. If you put them on top of each other, they make a song.
Hmm.
Did you notice? Yeah. So Easter I never eggs, did, I, you know, yeah, it's an Easter egg song, and I need to go listen to it. I actually don't remember what it sounded like, but you know, when you're listening to the record, you're not really paying attention to that. But anyways, great record. Great record. All right. My number one record is Patow. Intronaut. Fluid existential inversions.
Mm-hmm.
God. For me, it was between this record or The Direction of Last Things.
Yeah.
And but honestly, this record is so iconic. Like it's very rare for me to enjoy to love the latest album that a band released. And it's not an arbitrary thing, right? Bands, usually it's normal, right? A band will release a record, you will love that record, you love that sound, and the band will evolve and change and things like that. And so that's why, you know, maybe you won't enjoy their most recent records as much as you enjoy their older stuff.
Yeah.
But this band, I actually like, this is the record for me. This is the one. Like, it's one song, like, just the minute Cubanis is, I think that's how you say it, but that intro lick, it just gets me every time I hear it. And that with that weird time signature. God, and like, all also, again, it's one of those records. So again, Intronaut is one of those bands that write really, really complex music. I mean, it's not, it doesn't hit you in the face with it. You listen to it and you're like, oh, where's the complex, guitar licks and the complex, solos or anything like that. It's done subtly. But if you listen to it and you try to replicate it and you try to understand it, you'll see the complexity. It's all in the time signatures and it's all in the time changes and it's all in the performances of these guitar licks. It's all in the bass as well. The bass does an incredible, incredible job. It's one of the highlights of this band. There's a few bands that actually put so much effort in their bass licks and the bass effects. One of those bands as well that really know how to use time-based effects like delays and stuff like that. They're really so good at using delays and reverbs. You don't say that a lot. I never said that about any other band.
Yeah.
Again, also songs that are very, high concept, talking about, in the title, about being existing as a human and what is your role and what is it that you're doing and, it's just from front to back. Like, this album is incredible. Like, every song is a banger. And it just sounds so good. It's so well mixed.
Yeah,
I love this record. It's my favorite record, my favorite progressive metal album of all time.
Yeah, I love this album when it came out in 2020. It's one of my favorite albums from that year. Definitely. And, there's so many good tracks. Count Your Misfortunes, Check Your Misfortunes, rather, Tripolar, amazing songs. But the highlight for me was the closing track, Sour Everythings. Oh, my God. Like, I love when an album ends, like I love when the closing track is the best song on the album. That's just one of my things. I think I said it before. And to me, that song, it's just made me want more. You know what I mean? Because I didn't think that they would be able to pull this off so many albums into their career. You know what I mean? Especially since, because I think the original drummer doesn't play on this one, but they still managed to put out an amazing, amazing album.
So the drummer that they have right now is a session. I think he's like a session drummer or something like that. He's playing with Cynic. He's like the Cynic drummer.
Okay.
So that's why, like, even the drumming on these records, especially this record, man, it's so complex and so well done. It's incredible. And also, one of the highlights of this record, like we mentioned how, like, that the album Prehistoricism that you like doesn't have any melodies in it. And then they've been progressively adding more melodies into their records. This record just tops it all off. Like, they have some of the best melodies and melodic parts in any album you listen to. Go listen to The Cull. Listen to that. I don't know, you can call it an outro or whatever you want to call it, but it's like the tail end of that album, of that song. Just incredible. Just such an incredible melody and lyrics and, delivery. The best progressive metal album of all time.
Absolutely. So that was our choice, our top five.
Yeah, that's our top five. I hope you guys enjoy them. We have some comments, right? We have some people who chimed in and told us their favorites, right?
Yeah, so let's get cool choices here. You guys gave us some excellent, actually, selections here. Hamandi, you mentioned Tesseract, Altered States, along with...
Oh, that's a great record. Great, great record. It's my favorite Tesseract record, for sure.
Yeah, Tesseract's a fantastic band. Excellent choice. The Contortionist's Language.
Oh, yeah. Team Contortionist.
Team Contortionist, indeed. Cynic's Trace in Air. Those were Hamandi's selection.
One of my
Our friend Ellie Rocks. She mentioned Opeth's Ghost Reveries.
I'm not surprised.
also fantastic album.
Yeah.
You know, Ghost of Perdition, classic Opeth track. Crack the Sky. That was also meant, you know, a selection. That was a selection from the user says 532.
All right. And,
you know, perfect album, start to finish, excellent choices.
Yeah.
Luna de Nul. Sorry if I mispronounced your user. You chose Tool's Anima, Periphery 2, and the album, and everything in between.
That's unprocessed.
Good choices. Yep.
Yeah, the last one is unprocessed, and it's a great new like prog metal album. And but for me, Periphery, I really can't stand Periphery. After their first album, I've never listened to anything after that. But yeah, I agree with the other selections. Definitely strong prog metal albums.
Cool. And we have Behemoth by Hammandi. That's Ibrahim Mulla's selection.
Hammandi is a producer and music writer, by the way. So that's why like you're seeing his name right now as Behemoth. That's an old record, I think, that he released a while back. And
thanks for mentioning that. I'll definitely check it out. Yeah. I'll definitely check out your stuff. And Ibrahim also mentioned Everything That Is You by Thrail Kill. I have never heard of this band album, but damn, I'll check them out. Thanks for mentioning them. And also, he mentioned The Portal of I by Ney Oblifiscaris. Another band, I have never heard of them. Sounds intriguing. I'll check them out. We'll see what
I think. He has one more suggestion there or something.
Yeah, he also picked Train of Thought by Dream Theater, which
Ibrahim, that's where the Venn diagram separates for us.
I'll have to say it has some okay tracks on it. I'm not a Dream Theater fan myself.
I never get into Dream Theater,
but you know they're big in the prog world, obviously.
Respect to Dream Theater for sure, but like I could not get into them at all.
Yeah. Our friend Hazim Hani.
Hazim. That's Hazim. Yeah. That's he's the podcast.
I Wanna Rock.
Exactly. I Wanna Rock. Yeah. He's the host of the I Wanna Rock podcast. Yeah. The number one rock and metal podcast.
Indeed. His selections were River of Nils, Where Owls Know My Name.
I think that's probably their best record. I think that's probably their best record.
I haven't heard it, to be honest.
After that new record they released was weird. It's not that great, but this the one that that's I think their best work.
Okay. He chose also Alkaloids, the Malkuth, I think, Grimoire.
I have no idea.
That's I never heard of them.
Never heard of them.
But again, I guess music for us to check out. Mm-hmm. Soen Imperial Soen. Soen Imperial and
I see that name a lot. I just never heard of them. I never heard them.
Yeah. And I think his final selection, there's a dash.
Okay.
Slash between them. Anyway, it's Riverside's Second Life Syndrome, or I think Love, Fear, and The Time Machine. So maybe those are two different albums.
Two different albums from that band, and he's just saying one of them. Oh, I never heard of that band either. So yeah, definitely worth checking out for sure.
Yeah, I mean, you guys mentioned a lot of records here that I didn't personally listen to yet, but it will be cool to check out. Thanks so much. Yeah. Thanks for your contributions, guys.
Yeah, those are some great suggestions.
Yeah, we went a bit above the arbitrary 1 hour mark, but I hope you guys enjoyed this episode.
Yeah,
thank you so much.
Enjoyed this episode. So we probably need to ask. We'll probably do this in a survey, but tell us what other top fives you want us to do. Maybe we can it for the next episode or something like that. But and we're probably going to ask people on our Instagram account and we'll find out. But yeah, tell us what are other top five lists you want us to do.
And don't ask us what are our top five Dream Theater albums.
You know what? That'd be great, actually. This should force us to do like top fives of things that we don't like. Like, I don't know. Oh, like, do you like black metal? Like, I don't listen to black metal. So, yeah, like they should make us do like a top five, and we'll go and have to research and listen to a bunch of black metal, and we'll come up with our own, like, what we feel like are the best black metal albums. Or like, yeah, Dream Theater, or like Creed, top five Creed album.
Oh.
That'd be so good. We should do that, please. Suggest.
Oh, no.
Why don't you suggest? Yeah, all right. All right, all right, all right, all right. Cool, cool, cool. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as we enjoy doing it. And we will see you next week, I guess.
Definitely. Thank you so much.
See you later, guys. Bye-bye.